Okay, the next question here. How does Shaitan deceive by names? Now, we talked yesterday about how Shaitan deceives us in different ways. And one of the ways in which Shaitan deceives us is by using names. How does he use names to deceive us? How does he use names to deceive us? Very good, Sister Bill Keith. Shaitan uses names to deceive us by using names that attract the soul. He'll give a good name to something that is evil. Very good, Brother Mihir. He makes bad things appear beautiful and appealing. For example, we talked about how Adam, alayhi salam, was duped by Shaitan. How he fell into the trap of Shaitan. How Shaitan deceived him by giving that tree, which Allah had forbidden him to go near. Shaitan told him it's the tree of immortality. He gave it a dressed up pretty name to make it appealing. And he told him, if you eat from that tree, you'll be like the angels, immortal. And Adam alayhi salam fell for that deception. We also talked about how, for example, everybody knows sex outside of marriage is haram. Fornication is a horrific sin. But look how many people go out and have sex and get pregnant out of marriage, and they call their babies love child. Now, what does that have to do with love? Love child. So that's how Shaitan deceives us, by using names. Also yesterday, we talked about another method in which the Shaitan deceives us, by making the evil look good. And what do we mean by this? How does he make evil look good? Who can explain that? How does the Shaitan make evil look good? Very good, Sister Samaya. Very good. He makes the evil look good as if it is something that is beneficial. Okay, he'll make you think that although it's haram, it's really not. It's really some good in it. Or say, for example, he'll put in your head stuff like, well, everybody else is doing it. What's wrong with me smoking marijuana? Everybody else smokes it. What's wrong with me dating when everybody else dates? What's wrong with me going to my prom dressed up like a kafir? Everybody else is doing it. So that's how Shaitan makes the evil attractive to us, okay? And then finally yesterday, we talked about how Shaitan also uses promises and dreams to deceive us. And who can explain that? How does he use promises and dreams? How does he deceive us through promises and dreams? Who can remember? Very good, Bill Keith. Who can remember? How does Shaitan use dreams and promises to deceive us? Very good, Bill Keith. He uses dreams and promises to deceive us by stirring up desires in us. Very good, Samaya. He makes us false promises. For example, he'll tell us, well, it's okay to sell crack. I'm just going to do it for 1 month to get money. I'll become rich and I can move my family out of the ghetto. That's an example of how Shaitan makes false promises. Or, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with me selling alcohol to the kuffar, okay? And as long as I get money to Palestine, I'm okay. Okay, this is how Shaitan uses the deception of giving us false hopes and promises and dreams to take us away from the straight path. And so many of us fall for this. So many of us fall for that. So those are the things that we talked about yesterday. And today we want to continue with this by moving on to the next chapter here in the book that was emailed out to you guys. We're going to talk about the diseases of the heart. The diseases of the heart. And how we can overcome these diseases of the heart. And we're not talking about heart attacks or heartburn or anything like that. We're talking about the disease of the heart that the Shaitan uses to take us away from the path of righteousness. Okay? First of all, we have to understand as believing Muslims that there are two types of diseases that attack the heart. One of them is doubt and error, and the second is lust and desire. Those are the two types of diseases that attack each and every one of our hearts. And Allah talks about both of these things in the Quran. Allah says in the interpretation, the meaning, in their hearts is a disease of doubt and hypocrisy, and Allah has increased their disease. That's the second surah of the Quran, the 10th ayat. And also Allah says in the interpretation, the meaning, and that those in whose hearts is a disease of hypocrisy, and the disbelievers may say, what Allah intends by this incurious example. That's the 74th surah of the Quran, the 31st ayat. So here, these are some diseases. Diseases of the heart that can destroy us. That can destroy a believer. That can actually take us away from the straight path. Doubt and hypocrisy. Doubt and error. Allah says in the Quran, concerning those people who refuse to make the Quran and Sunnah the basis of their judgment, he says, and when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, lo, a party of them refuses to come and turns away. But if the truth is on their side, they come to Him willingly with submission. Is there a disease in their hearts? Or do they doubt or fear lest Allah and His Messenger should wrong them in judgment? Nay, it is they themselves who are the polytheists and the hypocrites and the wrongdoers. And this is the 24th surah of the Quran, the 48th through 50th ayat. So here you can see that Allah mentions these diseases in many ayats of the Quran. Also, Allah speaks about desire and lust. Allah says in the interpretation, the meaning, O wives of the Prophet, you are not likely any other women. If you keep your duty to Allah, then be not soft in your speech, Brother Abdul Samad. Then be not soft in your speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease of hypocrisy or evil desire for adultery should be moved with desire. That's the 33rd surah of the Quran, the 32nd ayat. So here Allah talks about the disease of lust, the disease of desire. So therefore, when you come to this website and you hear a woman like me, I'm a woman, 100%. But you listen to my voice and you say, my gosh, why is she so harsh? Why isn't she soft and sweet like a woman's supposed to be? Because I can't be that way giving dawah, because Allah speaks of this in the Quran. You don't know what lurks in the hearts of others. There are people out there who have hypocrisy in their hearts, or they have desire for fornication or adultery. We have to be sure as women, believing women, that when we're speaking, we are not speaking in a way to attract those emotions or stir up those feelings in the hearts of those who have no fear of Allah. Okay? So thus we have to be aware, guys, as believers, of the diseases of the heart, the disease of doubt and error, and the disease of desire and lust. Because these are the things that will take us to hell, and many of us will be sitting in hell because of these diseases. Because we gave in to doubt. We questioned Allah. We questioned His decree. How many Muslims do you know sit around questioning Allah? They come to the website every day. They ask us, why come we can't do this? Why come I can't arch my eyebrows? The answer is because Allah said so. Well, that's not good enough. I want to know why he would say that. Astaghfirullah. This is doubt. How dare you doubt and question Allah and his rulings? And then the other disease of lust and desire. Many of us will be sitting in hell because of this. We give in to our emotions. Look how many Muslims' lives are destroyed because of this internet. Look how many Muslims have fallen in love with people they have never met, but they were moved by their voices. What do you think turned the man on in Egypt to make him marry you, and you sitting here in America? He ain't never in his life seen you, don't know anything about you. This is what Allah is speaking about when he says, "In he in whose heart is a disease of hypocrisy or evil desire for adultery." Okay? Many of us are going to be sitting in hell because of these diseases. So anyway, once we recognize these diseases of the heart, then we can move to work on trying to remedy ourselves from them. How do we remedy the heart from these diseases? We first have to understand, guys, that the heart becomes well from these diseases simply by acquiring knowledge of this religion. The way to cure yourself is to learn about your religion, to learn the rulings, to learn what Allah has to say about softening the voice. What does Allah have to say about questioning him, questioning his rulings? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're now going to talk about things that we can do to overcome the diseases of the heart. The first thing we need to understand is that remembrance of Allah, remembering the glory and the greatness of Allah, helps us to fight against our whims and our desires. Whoever thinks of the greatness of Allah will never be at ease in committing a sin. If you are a person who truly fears Allah, you're not going to feel good sitting there backbiting somebody. You're not going to feel right. It just won't seem right. If you're a person who truly fears Allah, you're going to feel uncomfortable walking out the house without your hijab on. Subhanallah. If I didn't have my hijab on, I would feel naked. Subhanallah. A person who truly, truly fears Allah would never be at ease in disobeying him. So that's the first thing that we can do to help fight against the diseases of the heart. You want to remember Allah and his greatness. The second thing that we can do to fight against the diseases of the heart is to understand that if you claim to love Allah, then you should not disobey him because of that love. We talked about how important it is to love Allah. Anyone who truly loves him is not going to want to get his anger. Just like if you love your husband, you want your husband to come home from work and you want him to be happy when he gets home. You do not want to make your husband angry. You don't want to cook something for him to eat that you know he's not going to like. The same way we try to satisfy our husband, you should satisfy Allah. A person who loves Allah would not disobey him. You would think twice before you disobey him. And this is why I tell you guys all the time, there's a difference between a believer and a Muslim. Anybody can be a Muslim, but very few can be a believer. A believer never, ever, ever deliberately disobeys Allah. The third thing that we can do to help heal our heart from the diseases that can infect it, such as doubt and hypocrisy and lust, is to think of the blessings and favor of Allah. Look around and see how Allah has blessed you. Look at all the good things that Allah has done for you. Which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? Okay? This is one way to help fight against the doubt. How dare you question someone who has been so good to you? He's given you those beautiful children that you have. He's given you that good husband that you have. He's given you a nice car and you're living a nice life. So how could you even think to question or doubt someone who's done that for you? So by thinking of the favors and blessings that Allah has given us, this helps us to overcome the diseases of the heart. The next thing that we can do to overcome the diseases of the heart is to think of the wrath and punishment of Allah. Think of how Allah will punish you. Again, this goes hand in hand with loving Allah. You should fear His punishment. A believing Muslim fears the wrath of Allah. Look at what's going on in the world today. Allah sent an eclipse. And I told you guys, what did I tell you guys an eclipse was? Eclipse is a sign of Allah's wrath. Right after that eclipse occurred, look what done happened. They done had earthquakes in Algeria, back to back. Floods here in other Muslim countries, drought, hunger, starvation, Allah's wrath. Think of Allah's wrath and punishment, and this will help us to overcome the diseases of the heart. Think of how Allah says He hates shirk. He hates innovation. How shirk and innovation are two terrible, terrible sins. And this would make you think twice before you sit there talking about you're going to put a Quran in some water and you got some Quran water. This is a thing in Algeria, by the way. The Algerians, a lot of them do this. They believe in Quran water as being holy water. They will take the Quran, tear it up in pieces, and put it in a glass of water and say, now the water is holy. We would think twice before we indulge in this crazy types of shirk. Innovation, if we think of the wrath of Allah. Another thing that we can do to help fight against the diseases of the heart is we should think of what the person who commits wrong action has to lose. Think about what you're losing in this world and the next. Think about how, hey, okay, I'm sitting here backbiting. I'm losing my blessings in this life, and also in the hereafter, I'm going to be eating that person's flesh. Plus, I will be stopped at the Sirat bridge. I will not be allowed to enter into paradise until I go to hell and do some time for backbiting. Think about that. Think about what you have to lose in this world and the next, and that will help you to stay away from the diseases that affect the heart. The next thing we can do to cure our heart of these diseases is we should relish the idea of defeating the shaitan. It should make you happy. It should make you happy to say no to your jinn. It should make you feel good to say, yes, I used to be a smoker, but guess what? I am not a smoker anymore. And when Shaitan comes to you and gives you the urge to pick up a cigarette, when you say no, you should feel, wow, I've done something. And you notice the urge to smoke becomes lesser each time you say no to it. That's Shaitan. He becomes weaker against you each time you say no to him. So you should relish the idea of defeating the Shaitan, and this will help to keep your heart rid of those bad diseases of doubt and lust or whatever and desires. Another thing that we can do to help cleanse our heart from these terrible diseases, we should always bear in mind the rewards which Allah has promised us. Allah has promised those of us who control our desires, He promised us paradise. He promised us gardens of bliss, no more oppression, no sorrow, a life of eternity, of bliss. okay? Think of the rewards from Allah. Also, we should be mindful of death, and we talk about that a lot here. Always think about death, because if a person truly believes in Allah and fears Him, when you think about death, it's going to make you want to straighten up and do what's right. So thinking about death is one way to keep your heart purified and to keep those diseases of doubt and desires in check. Also, we should stop to think of falsehood. We should stop thinking about falsehood and bad ideas. If a bad idea crosses your mind, what do? You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, seek refuge. If a bad idea comes into your heart, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Okay? The best way to stay away from sins is to stop thinking about them. How can you call yourself a person who has quit drinking, but all you do is sit around thinking about the pleasure you got out of it? Also, we should strengthen our religious motives in fighting our desires and whims. Strengthen ourselves religiously. Attend lectures such as this. Come to this website, learn about your religion, hang around with strong believing Muslims, strong believers, who's going to make you stronger. And I'm going to tell you something, a lot of us, we fall victim to the shaitan because we're not in an Islamic environment. We're not surrounded by righteous people. If you are engaged with people who sit around and slander and backbite, what's righteous about that? Somebody tells you, don't go to that website because Sheikh Atlee this, that, the other. I heard this. I heard that. I heard this. Okay, so you don't go, but you're going to sit there with this idiot who can tell you, I heard this. And ain't got no proof, no evidence to support nothing that he or she heard. How is that person going to help get you to Jenna? That's the type of person you need to stay away from. That's the type of person Allah warns us of. He warns us against people who say, I heard this, I heard that, ain't got no evidence and don't even know the person. Sitting around slandering somebody that they don't even know. What type of an idiot is that? Those are the type of people you stay away from. We need to surround ourselves with righteous Muslims, righteous people who will help us get to heaven. And then maybe we can resist the urges of the shaitan to doubt and question and desire and fall for our desires and whims. Also, another way to fight against diseases of the heart, we should understand that Allah has created us to live an eternal life with no death. In other words, we have to understand, guys, why are we here? We are here to worship Allah. We are here to try to accumulate as many good deeds as possible so we can take them before Allah on the day of judgment and enter into paradise. We need to understand, guys, the life of this world is temporary. The life in the hereafter is eternal. Either you're going to be eternally in hell, or you can eventually get to heaven. The choice is ours. It's yours. So whenever you get a desire to do something bad, to commit a sin, then you should think about how, wait a minute, this life is just a test. This life is just a test. Think about that, and that will help you to be able to fight against that disease. Also, we have to understand that the best way to fight against Shaitan is to keep ourselves out of places of fitna, to keep ourselves away from people of fitna. Okay? If you're sitting around people who engage in slander and backbiting, of course you're going to do the same thing they do. If you're sitting around people who drink and do drugs, you're going to do the same thing they do. And this is why we talked about yesterday, it's bad for us as Muslim parents to send our children to the Kafir schools. If you got your children around people who have sex, they're going to have sex too. So we have to beware of places of fitna, places which will tempt us to disobey Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever hears of the Antichrist should keep away from him. And the best way to protect ourselves from wrong is to keep away from anything that can lead to it. Because this is one of the favorite tricks of Shaitan, to deceive you. So we need to take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stay away from anything that will lead us to commit the haram. Okay? We're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we're going to go over this next chapter, which talks about signs of the hypocrites. We're going to talk about the different signs of a hypocrite. And it's important that we know and recognize these signs so we can cleanse our soul. Because again, Shaitan tries to get you to become a hypocrite. He wants you to become a hypocrite or an extremist. So we need to be aware of the different signs. Okay, so we'll stop right here for today. And if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.